This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Playwright and teacher Linda Patton was, first and foremost, a storyteller. The 62-year-old Boston native got her master's in theater from Goddard College in Vermont and wrote plays based on her own life struggles and on the struggle for justice for African Americans. Linda Patton died earlier this month of complications from a hormonal disorder. Her death leaves a void in Boston's African American theater community. Patton ran a local theater group called the New African Company, along with her husband, director and retired BU professor James Spruill. They were both mentors for young black playwrights, directors, and actors in Boston. We're joined by one of Linda Patton's sons, Robert Patton Spruill, who's followed in his parents' artistic footsteps and is now a filmmaker, as well as co-owner of a Roxbury film production company called Film Shack. Welcome to Radio Boston, Robert.
Thank you, Sasha.
Robert, tell us a bit more about your mom. Her obituary gave a picture of a life that wasn't always easy.
Yeah, my mom, although she dealt with physical struggles from disease and stuff, when I really think of her, I think of this nurturer of artists, someone who was like, who lived and breathed and walked the walk and talked the talk of helping other people and specifically helping artists and just anyone that was in distress. I mean, she... to give the shirt off her back and my back, too, is definitely how my mom was. So she was, I think of her primarily as this nurturer of artists, this incredibly giving person that, you know, our house was just full of people and ideas and thoughts as a kid growing up.
What was it like being a kid in that household?
Well, as a kid in that household, you know, you would almost be like, what am I going to run into next when I get home? But at the same time, I think back on it, it's so much fun. I mean, I remember playing with props from Shakespeare plays, like swords and stuff like that as a little kid. But I also remember, you know, coming in and finding whole families packed into our guest rooms of our small three-bedroom apartment and, you know, rehearsals in the other room, private study and play readings and blowout parties, too. Like, you know, you know, with drums and everything. My mom knew how to party, too.
So. It sounds like you had a theater in your own
house.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it was. Imagine a theater in the round, and it all surrounded my mom.
Your mom got involved in theater, at least in part, because of meeting your dad, James
right.
Spruill. She met him, I believe, when she went to a play at the New African Company, the yep. theater he helped start. How did meeting him end up defining her professional life, if that's what it did?
Well, I think it was the moment where I think it really happened, because... up until then, what my mom did was just known as lying. You know, it was just, you know.
She made up stories.
Yeah, she just made up stories. And people would say, you know, what is it? You know, like, you know, my grandparents must have been like, you know, is she lying? I mean, what's wrong with her? And then I think when she met my dad, who was already teaching at Emerson College and was the host of Say Brother on WGBH at the time, she really found an outlet for that and that kind of energy.
Robert Patton Spruill, you're a filmmaker.
Yes.
And I was just reading an old interview with you in which you talked about how theater always seems so temporary to you because once you take the set down, it's all over. But your mom, it seems, had no problem with what you see as the temporariness of theater.
Well, my mom was always trying to change it. It was never good enough for my mom. Whereas for me, it was like, oh, we nailed it. It's perfect. Print it. You know, whereas my mom was, the temporal world was what she was all about. It was never done.
And do you mean that with theater, she could redo it every night and tweak from the night before?
We knew people playing the parts. It would be, you know, it was always an evolving and changing thing. And not until recently did I get to understand that passion in theater is that it is about that. Oh, okay. How are we going to reinterpret this again?
Your mom grew up in the Boston of the 50s and 60s. Not the easiest time to be a black Bostonian. From whatever she shared with you of those years, what was her experience of the city like during that time?
Well, it was difficult. One of the things that's interesting about black families, and specifically black families in Boston, is we come in all shades. And whereas I'm significantly lighter skinned than my mom, her mom was significantly lighter skinned than she was. And she always used to tell this story about how when my grandmother went to go pick her up at school, the teachers didn't believe that her mom was her mom because of just skin color and wouldn't let her have her. And she was like, I think it was, she must have been about 10 years old, but I think that had a really scarring moment on her where it was like, who am I and how do I find place when my own mother, you know, of course my grandmother, you know, raised holy cow, but I think that had a pretty important effect. And then I also think that, you know, Boston of the 50s and 60s, you know, you have Malcolm X, you have Martin Luther King living here, and you have, you know, the Black Panther Party. I think that when you think of all of those things combining together, you know, there were actual you know, boots on the ground people. And my mom was one of those people.
You mentioned the Black Panther Party. Mm-hmm. In the early 70s, your mom was active in the Black Panther movement. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, my first sentence was power to the people. And I believe that, you know, my mom, it wasn't, you know, a cool hairstyle for her. It was a way of life. And to volunteer in any way possible to make someone else's life just a little bit better, to help tutor someone into breeding better, or, you know, going on, they used to go on, they would set up soup kitchens kind of thing. And, you know, of course, my mom couldn't cook, so I feel terrible for those people. But, you know, she would, you know, do all sorts of things to make sure that she was really out there and really in the front lines. She had an afro, though, that was, you know, I'm holding my hands out in a circumference around 4 feet. You know, put Angela Davis to shame.
Robert Pattinspruell has been speaking with us about the recent death of his mother, playwright and teacher and activist, Linda Patton. Robert Pattinspruell, thank you for coming to Radio Boston.
Oh, thank you, Sasha. It was a pleasure.
Next week on Radio Boston, in the context of the battle over an Islamic community center in Manhattan, we'll be checking the pulse of the Massachusetts Muslim community. And at the start of the new school year, we'll talk with Boston Public School Superintendent Carol Johnson. And did you know there's still a place where you can get that old typewriter fixed? We'll visit the shop in Arlington. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. Our program is produced by Adam Ragusea, Jessica Alpert, and Dan Mozzie. Our interns are Talia Ralph and Hugh Roberts. Tim Skog is our technical director. The senior producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin, and Iris Adler is our executive producer. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Join us again tomorrow for Radio Boston.